Thank you, Nancy, for playing that. Nancy approached me and said that she was ready at some point or other for us to be able to pray and song this. And I said, praise the Lord, because this is the day I want to look at the section of the Lord's Prayer, which deals exactly with the phrase, forgive us our trespasses as we pray it. Normally in the Methodist and other traditions, goes back to the Anglican Church from their Book of Common Prayer, in which even before the King James Version back in 1611, it had been translated, this prayer, as forgive us our trespasses. And so that's why our tradition continues with that phrasing. But actually, the word is debts and debtors. That's how the Greek should actually be translated. And if you look at the King James or the Geneva Bible, which was just before the King James Version, that was the Bible that the pilgrims brought over to America, if you may recall. The Geneva Bible, that has the translation which is most following the Greek, debts and debtors. So, remember, Jesus said there in the 12th verse, as we look in Matthew chapter 6, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What is forgiveness? In the story Jesus told about the prodigal son, and you know, it's a great story. Some people say it should be called by the story of the prodigal, the eldest son, because he features greatly in it. Others have said it should be called the parable of the running father. And so remember that in this story Jesus told, you have a son, the youngest son, who asks ahead of time, totally inappropriately, before his father died or was even on his sickbed, for his inheritance. And the father, and I'm not sure what my father would, I think my father would have a actual, I'll bet you, well, I'm not going to even try and conjecture what my father would do. But I think you would say the same about your fathers if you asked in such an inappropriate time for your inheritance. But the father, this father, gives him his inheritance. And what does Jesus go on to say? But that he goes out into the world and squanders it on wild living and ends up so broke that he's eating the garbage that would be fed to pigs, no less. You think about that, how much of a wording of them, you know, people would have just been all over the place with rumors about how this son had fallen from grace eating with the food of pigs. And so he decides to return home. And basically enslave himself to the father. You know, he says, I'm going to do just like my father's servants. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'll do out in the fields. I'm not a part of the household anymore. I don't deserve to be. But what does the father do? It says, while he was a long way off, this messed up prodigal son of his, who he saw coming in from long way off, he threw off his cloak and ran out to meet him and embraced him and put rings on his fingers, or what was it? How's it go? Rings on his fingers and symbols on his toes? I don't know. Anyhow, he did something, placed him on his fingers and toes, and gave him his cloak to wear. He killed the fatted calf, threw a party for him. You know, all these things that this disrespected, taken advantage of, father did. This canceling of the prodigal's debts, of the impropriety of it all, of any thought of taking revenge for what his son had done, that's got to be what forgiveness is like. And it's not easy work, is it? It's work, in fact. They say in this culture of ours, therapeutic culture that we live in, you know, it's got all this sort of advice about how to forget. I was just listening to something the other day on National Public Radio, and they were talking about just a sort of emotional feel-goodism of a way to get along through our life. But I was thinking to myself, well, this is poppycock. That's not the way life really works. It was talking about how to get along with people that you really don't get along well with, and how to speak truth to them. And one of the things that it said, and I was trying to, I just imagined to myself, if I said this to Robin, what would happen? Because it was saying, like, you know, I don't like the way that you dress, or I don't like such and such a thing that you do. Well, anything that begins with the phrase you, and then has some thing to follow that, I don't know about you, but my hackles go up. And believe me, Robin's do too. She's reminded me of it often. You know, the Bible tells us there's a way to speak and a way not to speak. And one of the things it tells us is, as a father has compassion upon his children, so we should have compassion upon, he has compassion upon us. And it doesn't begin with the finger pointing at you, me. It begins right there on the cross. For he died. So that accusation, beginning with you, is wiped off the slate, isn't it? And so, Matthew begins the prayer with this word, debts. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive. And Luke captures this well. Luke puts it, forgive us our sins as we forgive. He combines the two thoughts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive all who are indebted to us. You catch that? How he puts the two together? Trespassing has the connotation, doesn't it, of crossing boundaries. I'll never forget, I was fishing on McMichael's Creek. I used to serve a church up in Reeders, right near you. You know exactly where it is, right, Jack? And so I saw this beautiful stream, McMichael's. And there was a club up sort of at the corner at a right angle bend. And then they had all these no trespassing signs going down the stream. No trespassing. And so, but every once in a while there was a sign that had P on it. And so, dumb me, I thought, whoa, that must mean public. Public parking. And so I parked at one of the spots, and I mean, I was pulling them out right and left. It was so much fun. Until along comes behind me this car. He pulls out, he stops and pulls out and starts writing down my license plate number. And so I thought, well, I better get out of the water. And I got out, and he says, you're not supposed to be fishing here. And next day I got a phone call from the vice president of the club, and he says to me, if we ever catch you again on the stream, we're going to charge you with, here it is, malicious trespassing. That's what trespassing is, crossing boundaries. I never went back there, believe me. But you know, there's something that also goes along with that. The forgiveness of our debts, of our trespasses, is at the core of the cross's meaning, isn't it? For it's the debt we owe to God for all the trespasses we've broken, all the crossing of boundaries of the law, all the warnings of the prophets that we've ignored. And even more, it's the cancellation on the cross by the death of Jesus of those debts that's at the core of our faith. You know, had I been brought before a judge, had I been brought before God, this is what God says to us. You're guilty. You're guilty. But I'm going to pay the price for you. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to pay that price. That unpayable price. I asked the club, I asked that guy, well, what can I do to join so I don't get in trouble? And he said, well, you can't. Only judges and lawyers from Philadelphia or New York can afford to pay the price to join this club. But everyone who believes in the name, the price has been paid for us by Christ, Jesus, our Lord. But you know, this is also a prayer, this fifth petition, that has within it a certain conditionality, doesn't it? Forgive us as we forgive. Of course, it's not a work. our forgiveness of others. The price has already been paid. But it's a proof of the genuineness of our faith that we at least strive toward forgiving others, those who have done us wrong. Kevin DeYoung says, every day we live as debtors to mercy. Just as we need to ask every day for the daily bread of the prayer, so we have sins that need to be forgiven every day. And he says, forgiven people forgive. If you never forgive, you ought to wonder if you've ever truly experienced and really believed in God's forgiveness of you. Jesus' prayer reminds us that forgiveness is like the cancellation of debt. Paul says that when we come to Holy Communion with hardness of heart and grudges against one another in our hearts, we're making a mockery of the sacrament, of what Jesus has done for us. And the very death of Jesus for the forgiveness of our own personal sins. Because the faith is a corporate faith as well, isn't it? We're a part, he says, of the body of Christ. He is the bridegroom, and we the bride, Paul says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he writes, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that Jesus, the Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So then he writes, continuing, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord himself. Everyone ought to examine themselves. We need to examine ourselves before we eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Forgiveness is a hard work and progress, process, isn't it? But it's a process that we all must engage in, lest the proclamation of the Lord's death really mean nothing at the end. So let's come together, brothers and sisters, with that same attitude of forgiveness in the body, for the body, that the Lord has first shown to us.